Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Namaste and welcome to today's exciting episode.
Namaste, namaste, namaste.
Getting in the spirit there, mate.
Yeah.
And it is a very special episode.
Oh.
It is for me, anyway. It's a very personal episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm covering something that actually happened recently to me. Once-in-a-lifetime experience. My nephew, to tell the story completely, when he was still in school,
mm-hmm.
his childhood sweetheart was a Nepalese girl.
Lovely.
And now, 7 or 8 years later, they've got married.
Excellent news. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, James and Ayusha. I was invited to their wedding.
Nice.
This being a Hindu wedding ceremony.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to one of them. They look so fun.
They are. Like I say, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me. Completely out of my depth. I hadn't got a clue what was going on. Most of us didn't in my family. But obviously, yeah, my sister Mandy, who's been on the podcast, it's her son, and his now wife that were getting married. And we were all invited, but we had to stick to their traditions.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Which is understandable, isn't it?
Yeah. And I imagine you embrace that because it's different
absolutely,
for you guys.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. Because to be honest, I find weddings boring.
Yeah, they are.
Like, at least English ones. Now, this was unlike anything I've ever been to before, but in the most wonderful way. And I'm going to be as respectful as possible as I can in this episode. But I basically wanted to, because we cover religions, or we have done in the past, you know, the different cultures and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
This one is such a beautiful culture,
mm-hmm.
and I had such a unique perspective into it. That I just wanted to go through the walk through the day, through this Nuwari wedding. That's Nuwari is their sort of tribal cultural name.
Okay, yeah.
And it obviously so different to ours. Like I say, all of the family, my side of the family, were like a fish out of water. We didn't know what we were doing. It was apart from my sister, who'd sort of been through all the arrangements, and you know, she was the one that was organising everything. So we all went to her house first thing in the morning.
Can I ask a very quick question before you?
Yeah, go for it.
Is it like you see in movies and TVs where it's just bright colours, like dresses
and
lots of jewellery?
Yeah, dresses, saris are all different colours. There's flowers galore, mate. You wouldn't believe the amount of flowers that they go through.
Nice.
But before all that, it will start off first thing in the morning. We had to go to my sister's house. Where all of the ladies had to have their saris fitted. And they have to be a certain colour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you're part of the immediate family, the bride always wears red and gold.
Ah, so not white.
No, red and gold. I think it's occasionally they're allowed to wear green as well, but predominantly it's always red and gold for the bride and her family.
Is that what Ayusha?
Ayusha, yeah.
Ayusha. Is that what she wore?
Yeah,
red?
Mate. Yeah,
nice.
Nobody's allowed to outdo the bride. She has to be the most fantastically dressed person.
Oh,
on the
of
day,
course, you know, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But yeah, so we all went round to sister's place. They were fitted with saris, but before that, my sister. And James, the groom, had to go to the fishmonger because one of the traditions, one of the offerings that we had to give them was these two dressed fish. They gave us these little outfits for these fish to wear. No. So literally 6 o'clock in the morning, my sister and James are down the fishmonger, like, trying to size up these fish against these little outfits.
Hang on, because I'm picturing a fish in like a suit or something.
Yeah, basically.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That's, and that's one awesome. Of the offerings we had to carry into the ceremony.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, she had to go and buy these two fish to be dressed up as an offering. And the fishmonger turned to her and said, "Oh, do you want me to gut them to make it easy for you eat later?" And I don't think he was expecting the response. I don't want to eat them. I just want to dress them.
Dress the fish.
But they got the fish. And yeah, we like to say, first thing in the morning, ran at my sister's house. They got all their saris on. And we had to, my sister had to go around and offer us all a blessing, which is where we get the red spot on our forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So we all did that, you know, staying respectful to the traditions.
So that means like blessing.
Yeah, it's like a blessing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
From what I understand, anyway. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure that's what I was told. So we all received our blessings. Now, it was crucial that we got everything right because we didn't know this at the time. We knew that it was being professionally recorded by professional videographers. Mm. Didn't realise that half of it was being live streamed on Facebook all over the world. So there were people all through Nepal watching us making sure we got it right and all this sort of thing. We had to leave the house in the correct order.
Mm.
So, like, the groom has to go first, followed by, I think, his mother, the ladies, and then the gentlemen were allowed to leave. Okay. Can't remember the exact order, but we managed it anyway. Went over to Plumstead in Greater London. This is literally the Nepalese community in England.
Ah, so they've like settled in little
yeah,
Plumstead.
Yeah, Plumstead is the main hub where you'll find the Nepalese in this country. And apparently, I'm taking this from what I've heard, from somebody who went to Nepal, mm-hmm. who lived out there for a year, every time he met someone, they say, "Oh, where are you from?" And you go, "Oh, I'm from England, London or Newark or, you know, whatever it is." And they'd be like, "No, I don't know." And you go, "Plumstead? Oh, Plumstead, yeah, I know Plumstead."
Oh, right.
So, yeah, Plumstead is well known as the Nepal community.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where we went. We went to a Southeast Asian Community Centre
mm-hmm.
in Plumstead. And we were told to be there for 9:30 in the morning. So we did. We made sure we were there for 9:30 in the morning. And then we encountered what's called Nepalese time. And I'm not being racist here. They actually said that to us themselves. Like, "Oh, I see you've encountered Nepalese time." Because they'll tell you to turn up there at 9:30. They won't be there until 11 themselves.
Right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And that's what they call Nepalese time, you know?
Okay, right. Fair enough.
So, and that's not just me being nasty about it. That's their own.
Do you think that's so they make sure that you're there way ahead of time?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. I think they're just more relaxed about time. They're
okay.
Punctuality is not necessarily like a big deal to them much as getting like everybody together and then throwing the party, you know?
I do kind of get that. If that is maybe some of the reason, all of my watches and clocks in my house are like 3 minutes faster. So I know that I've got plenty of time kind of thing.
Right,
so,
okay.
But that's interesting.
Yeah.
Nepalese time.
Yeah, so we were told to wait outside for a little while he got things set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were welcomed in for the first part of the ceremony. Now, we each had to carry offerings for the bride and the bride's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they vary, like the fish was one of them.
I forgot about fish.
I was carrying like a wrapped up sari on a tray. My dad, being the oldest member of my family, had to carry in what's known as the supari,
okay.
which is it's an offering to show that the bride has been accepted into the groom's family.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
The wedding can't go on until this has happened. This is when they like get their engagement sort of thing. This has to be organized and arranged that the groom's family will accept the bride into the family and, mm-hmm. and give this official offering, you know, to make that claim. Yes, you are accepted, yeah. you know. So we did that. And as we walked through the door, we had to go in the right order, like one at a time. And as I went through the door carrying my tray with a sari on it, I had to bow to the bride's mother and she put another blessing on my forehead,
mm-hmm.
Said namaste. And I had to bow again. And as I'm walking in past all these beautiful women and all in their lovely, colourful saris, many of them are red because they're direct family to the bride.
Is it the same shade of red?
Yeah, like it's really rich scarlet red.
Oh, okay.
With gold embroidered on it and all that. Like, really does look nice. And they decorate the whole thing. The entrance is decorated with all these garlands and just flowers everywhere. Mm. Like, behind them was just a wall of roses.
Damn.
Literally. And they're all stood in front of all these flowers and they're all going, namaste, namaste, as we were entering in. And they welcomed us in. And we went to in this middle big hall, the community centre, and towards the one end in front of the stage, they'd set up what to me looked like, you know, the kind of like gazebo tent that you buy for your garden, the little square ones.
Just
a little frame tent with a thingy over the top. It looked like that, but obviously
marquee kind of thing.
Yeah, no, this is called a mandap.
A mandap?
A mandap, yeah. It's, okay. It's kind of like a tent. It's like a little wedding hut thing. But it's, again, just got flowers all over it.
That's a great, like...
Red and white drapes.
That's a great Nepalese rapper name.
Mandap.
Yeah.
Well, the mandap is where the actual wedding itself takes place. The bride and groom and the priest, he actually performs the actual wedding ritual in that mandap underneath that sort of tent.
Is that in the building?
It's in the building. If this was out in Nepal, it would be right in the centre of the village.
Oh, okay, cool,
you know,
cool.
Somewhere in the middle of the community where everybody can come and interact with it.
Nice.
Although this being a cross-cultural wedding, it was held a lot more privately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Still being videoed all through it. But anyway, we went over to the mandap and their family members accepted these offerings from us, put them on the floor, you invited us to sit down and that. Like, then the bride entered looking absolutely fantastic, mm-hmm. regal, you know, with a veil out and she was holding it out in front of her face like this and just amazing, this entourage of women all in their lovely scarlet saris with the gold embroidery.
Does the father walk her out like an English
wedding? No, I think the mother does.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like the mother and her sisters and whatnot, the female family led her next to the mandap where they, again, I'm not entirely sure, I think I was told she was being, what do they call it? Like anointed for, like blessed by the gods, ready for her wedding.
Oh, okay.
Let's just call it she'd been prepared.
Yes.
I don't know if I've got the terminology right, so we'll just say that. But yeah, there were these little rituals and they sat down and sort of did their own little thing with all of these blessings and whatnot. And then when they were ready, we were then invited back outside, because the groom wasn't allowed in at this point. It was only us.
So not to compare the two, but that's interesting that the bride goes first.
Yeah, bride goes first.
Yeah, usually it's the other way around. So, yeah, well, I'm liking this. Mm. This is sounding really cool.
So then, we're invited back outside so that the groom could approach the building in the wedding car. And his brother was driving it. He's not allowed to drive at all on the day. He has to be chauffeured everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, both of them do.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. and, like, all these Nepalese people came out, and there was three of them on, banging drums, and three of them with these cymbals, and they're just like... like this. And they were like, dance, dance. And so the car's driving up the driveway towards the community centre. And we're all just like dancing behind this car. Mm-hmm. Didn't realise that this was being live streamed. And there's all these Australian people like, commenting on it, going, oh, good on them, you know, having a good go at that. Well, no, but yeah, we were just—I was just following my sister's lead. She was the one that was dancing, so I was like, "Okay, this is what we got to do." But yeah, it was just amazing. These drummers and it was only like five or six of them playing the drums and giving us this beat so that we could dance to. Mm-hmm. And then my nephew was invited to enter the building, but before that, he has to have a blessing from the bride's father.
Ah.
So they put a little mat on the ground, and he had to go down and kneel on the mat. And at this point, all the bridesmaids came along and stole his shoes.
Oh, that's kind. Yeah,
yeah, nice. Part of the tradition.
So he got married barefoot, or like
just in his socks. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But we'll cover that later.
Bit of mischief. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So then. I couldn't see exactly what was going on properly because of all the photographers that were in the way. But the groom's father was doing, he was like walking around him and like pouring water on the floor and then tipping flower petals over his head. He would like, he'd put flower petals in a bucket and then he'd upturn it over my nephew. And my nephew's obviously dressed in like this amazing suit, as a wedding suit. They all wore sort of a similar suit, but everybody attending the wedding was just in a plain grey. Mm-hmm. A suit, but the buttons up down the side, almost like a chef's coat.
Is that what he had as well, like down the
side?
Yeah,
yeah. Only okay. James's was not plain grey. It was more of a neutral khaki sort of colour. But he also had like a sash and a cookery, you know, the big dagger that they have out there.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
He got to have a dagger at his wedding.
Yeah, the cookery had to be tucked in. And he had to wear the little hat that they wear. I don't know what that's called. I should have looked that up.
That's all right. Little hat sounds good.
But yeah. And the father, I think he did it three times, tipping flower petals over James's head. And it was all very pleasant and lighthearted. You know, it wasn't all fuddy-duddy and, oh, I have to do this. So, you know, they were laughing and joking at the same time and that. Like
embracing.
Because obviously, Ayusha's father, being Nepalese, was only about 5'3", and James is about 6'5".
Oh, okay, good luck. Did he have a stool?
James had to literally like stoop down so his father could reach it high enough to tip these flowers onto his head.
Yeah.
Eventually, obviously, James was then welcomed into the community centre for the actual the wedding to begin. Again, he was stood on this little pad. And they did certain ritual. I'd love to be able to go through the whole thing, but it took hours and hours. Yeah. But this was kind of where the first part of the wedding took place. This is where they actually offered themselves to each other with vows, you know, just basically saying, I give myself to you for the rest of my life.
Yeah, sweet things.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they exchanged garlands that... James was issued this a grass garland, like a necklace, but it looked like a grass skirt that you'd see in Hawaii.
Yeah,
kind of looked like that, but it went around his neck instead, and they had to exchange those. So he had to put one on Ayusha, and she put one on him.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also had actual real jewelry necklace, bracelet. Yeah, and a necklace actually. It was a necklace and a bracelet, and the bracelet is actually traditionally what they class as the wedding ring.
Oh, that's cool.
In Nepal. Although, because of our culture as well, Ayusha wanted to have an actual wedding ring on top of their normal ceremonies. So they did exchange actual wedding rings as well, although that's not normally traditional Nepalese. Oh, the bracelet is the wedding ring. It's called a tilari, and it's got all beads and gemstones in it, and they're called potes.
So she got away with a necklace, a bracelet, and a ring.
Yeah.
Smart lady.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, obviously my nephew James, he had to just wear the necklace and the garland. And they have, like, flower garlands and all this sort of thing. And also they were given, Ayusha was given, like, a red... I don't know what how to like. It was just a cloth.
Yeah, yeah.
Just draped around her neck, and James was given a white one.
Yeah. Just quick. So the necklace you mentioned.
Yeah.
Is that similar to like the ring in sense of will James wear that with pride as well as the ring to show like maybe Nepalese people that he is married?
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
And out in Nepal, a married woman will not leave the house without that necklace on, that Tilarian poach.
Okay, yeah, yes. Oh, yeah. That's what, yeah.
So, yeah, that is very, very important too.
Yeah, perfect.
But yeah, after sort of that was done, they actually went into the mandap, into the tent, and started doing all sorts of stuff in there. At this point, an elderly Nepalese gentleman approached me. I was sat on a table just 10 feet away from the mandap. And he said, oh, you can help yourself to food. And I was like, okay, thank you. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, I'm just watching what's going on here. Yeah. And I carried on sort of watching, trying to watch what was going on in between the photographers. And that about 5 minutes later, same gentleman came up to me and he goes, the food bar is open. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm just watching your ceremony. It's lovely. Like, okay. About another 5 minutes goes by. He comes back and he's like, Please do help yourself to the food. And suddenly it dawns on me, oh my God, I'm offending these people by not eating their food, aren't I?
Oh, right. Okay.
So I was like, right, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I'll go now. I'll go. No problem at all. I don't want to offend anybody. So I walked up to the back of the hall where they got all this lovely looking food out there. And one of the women from behind me somewhere said, we hope our food is not too spicy for you. At this point, the penny dropped again, and I'm like, uh-oh. We all know that I don't do hot food.
Yeah, you don't do spice at all. No.
So I walked up to it was pretty much a buffet thing, but with, you know, hot meal trays.
I bet there was so much food.
At this point, not so much, but later on in the evening, loads, absolutely loads. But at this point, it was just sort of a simple sort of food
like
offering.
An appetizer.
Yeah, sort of like that. I wasn't particularly hungry anyway. I just didn't want to offend anybody. Mm. So I just got a spoonful of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went and sat down and I literally put one spoonful of this vegetable mash stuff, I don't know what it was called, in my mouth and steam came out of my ears.
The first thing that's hot.
Literally. Red hot, man. It blew my socks off.
So the woman
and I put my
right.
my spoon down. I thought, well, at least I've now got some food in front of me. I'm not offending anybody anymore. I can't talk, and I need to drink an entire bottle of water to cool my tongue down.
Yeah, so she was right on the money when she said that.
Yeah.
In the queue.
Yeah. But anyway, at least I wasn't offending anybody, and I could carry on watching the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the Bajie was sat down. They were sat on like these cushions and pillows, and the Bajie then took. Do you remember I said they had draped us like a sash over the bride and groom, just like a cloth.
Yes, yes. The Bajie, red and white.
Yeah, one red, one white. Mm-hmm. He then took them from them and literally tied them in a knot, and then draped them back over their shoulders, so they were connected together. You know.
Yeah.
And then they had to go through these rituals. I honestly didn't know really what was going on too much because the Bajie was speaking in their native language and doing all these prayers and things, and they were burning all these spices and flower petals and stuff.
Did he have something to signify that he was like the Bajie minister thing? Like,
not really. No.
I was just interested because obviously...
I think, yeah, maybe his suit was like a little bit more nicer.
Because I would imagine at that kind of wedding, he would be like honoured to do that. So,
oh yeah, very much.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know.
I think his suit was a little bit more elaborate, but not massively. He didn't wear like any like drapes or pointy hats or anything like priests do over here.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering if like you could spot him and be like, oh, that's the Bajie. If he had anything like you said, like a hat.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The service ceremony began. I wouldn't have been able to pick him out from any other Nepalese gentleman that was there.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe that's just my own inexperience. I don't know. But yeah, they went on and they carried on doing like their blessings and stuff. And it came to a point where James has to prove to his new bride and the family that he is worthy of taking her on.
Yeah, provide so, for her.
Yeah, being that. A good provider and that. Like, so before he's even allowed to give her a first kiss or anything, he's literally pulling like 20 quid notes from his wallet. And he'll hand her one, and she was like, not enough. So another one, not enough. Right. Some weird Nepalese note, no, definitely not enough. So, I think he must have handed over about 70 quid in total before she was like, yeah, go on then.
So that, is that a tradition enough, that's a little bit tongue-in-cheek on purpose?
Yeah, then, I think so. Well, yeah. The thing is, because a lot of their culture is making sure that you're a good provider for the younger generations. And I guess because of the wedding, you're unifying two families. You need that both families need to make sure that they're worthy of being able to do that, you know.
Security thing as well.
Security.
No, that makes sense.
Which again we'll come back to, but with the shoes, that's another thing that will come up. So yeah, he handed over some money and she accepted that. And then the Barge went through 7 promises that James had to make to Ayusha. Again, they were quite long drawn out. But again, it was basically security, make sure that I'm happy, make sure that our kids are all, you know, looked after and all that sort of thing. And every time he'd agree to one of these promises, she would hand him an areca nut, or sometimes called betel nuts.
Ah.
Right, and these were an offering to the gods. Once he'd collected all 7, I think they went into a fire and got burned.
Oh, so were they actually like food, like nuts?
They are, but from what I'm told, they're not particularly nice to eat and they're kind of bad for you. The example I was given was they're like tobacco.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, technically edible, but no one really eats them. Mm-hmm. So they're just used for these blessings and that sort of thing. Lots and lots of blessings going on. Then Ayusha had to agree to one of his promises, mm-hmm. which she did. And each time, because like the Barge was saying, it was reading out for Ayusha, or for James, or for Ayusha mostly, and he would say, oh, I will come and sit on your left if you promise to, you know, look after me financially and blah, blah, blah. And then James would agree. And 7 times it was like, I'll come and sit on your left. And then at the end of it, Barge is like, but you can see that women can be stubborn. So you have to assert yourself as a man if you want her to sit on your left. So you have to pick her up and plonk her down on the neck, on the cushion on his left.
Right.
Yeah, which is obviously part of the ritual. You know, he has to make that assertion and pick her up. We all knew that he had to pick her up at some point in the wedding ritual. We didn't really know why or when.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she sort of covered her face with like a cheesecloth.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. James had to get this stuff called sindoor powder, like a red crimson powder, and he sprinkled it at the bottom of the cloth and then ran his thumb up it, spreading the powder all the way up until it touched her hairline and like spread the powder into her hair. I don't pretend to know what this is about, but it's part of the ritual. It's very important. If you look at wedding photos, Nepalese wedding photos online, you will always see that the bride has got like a red stain in her hair. And they all have, they have many, many blessings. So they've got a massive red spot by this point as well on their forehead. And that was kind of the most part of it, really. After that, it became very lighthearted. You know, the deal was done, more or less. Mm-hmm. And it was very informal after that, and until, you know, they was just burning some more spices and flowers and that sort of thing. And then, yeah, it was basically the daytime ceremony was over. And we left to go back to my sister's place for a couple of hours, get changed and whatnot. And they left to go wherever they went.
Can you wear whatever you like for the evening, or is it
for the
still...
evening? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of felt a little bit underdressed because, you know, I'm, you know, casual most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But all the Nuari gentlemen were all in their, like, their Sunday best suits, you know.
Right.
By this
yeah.
point, not traditional Nepalese suits, just like Western, a nice suit, you know. And a lot of them looked like they paid good money for them, you know. So I kind of felt a little bit underdressed now in a hoodie and a leather jacket.
Well, you always go for comfort.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I'm the kind of guy that if I was a billionaire, you'd never know it. Because I'd still walk around in tacky jeans and a T-shirt, you know. But, yeah, the evening do, we turn up and we basically had to wait for the bride and groom to turn up. They'd changed now. Ayusha, she changed out of a sari, and now she was in what's known as a lenga, which is like a two-piece, like a dress and top. Very heavy material. Still, again, in like scarlet with gold embroidery.
Okay. That's the thing. I don't want to offend. I'm just, is it like what you see with like belly dancers, that kind of like top is
sort
separated?
Of, but, not as exposed on the top. The top is always like long sleeves.
Yeah,
they don't show cleavage.
No,
anything like that. It's a very nice, presentable, almost like a blouse, but you know, a little bit more traditional.
Yeah, and I'm like just trying to picture it.
Quite a heavy material.
Right. Okay.
But lovely embroidery and like all beads and gemstones all throughout it and everything.
Mm.
And as they entered the building again, there's like a I don't know what you call it, a hostess, I guess, who's got like a microphone, and she's telling everybody, like, stand up as the bride and groom enter the building, and they walk through the crowd to where their wedding cake was put in the middle of the dance floor, which made my sister very nervous. She thought that was a bit of a risky thing to do. But at the end of the day, it wasn't, because they came in, they presented themselves to everybody that was there. By this time, there's, again, like there's 500 people in this building now. It's not just a small couple of families. It's the whole Nepalese community was allowed.
Yeah.
It was just open for them to come.
Has James still got no shoes at this point?
Oh, no, sorry, yeah. Yeah, at the end of the, like all the rituals before, James then had to buy his shoes back.
Okay.
And this is part of their tradition. It cost him 150 quid to buy his shoes. I don't think his shoes are even worth that much, but that's what they charge him. And this is done, and it's shared out between the single ladies in the congregation so that they can have a night out and hopefully find their own future husband.
I like that. That's a cool little tradition.
You see how it's always set up so that like the people who are going into their like next phase in life are still helping out the people that are one step behind them, you know?
It's like very big in generosity and kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's
yeah,
cool.
I mean, this is kind of off topic, but I was told that they also have like another party sort of later on in the year where the older generations give money to the younger generations, and the younger the generation is, the more money they receive. And it's basically trying to help set them up in life, you know, spread the family wealth down the line, keep the family bloodline going, you know, nice and strong and wealthy.
I think more people should do that.
It's an amazing thing that they do for each other. There's a sense of like family and community. It outweighs anything that we've got here. But I've got to say, they also don't like you to point that out too much, the differences between us and them, because they're over here trying to integrate with us, trying, and particularly the younger people, they're taking on more Western cultures, and they don't want you to think they're different.
That's the thing. I'm not seeing it as different. I'm trying not to compare the two. I would say it's their weddings and culture sounds better than do you know what I mean?
It is.
So I'm actually listening to you talk and like not comparing, but going, I wish we did that more. Should have this. And,
mate, particularly this evening part, because like I say, they came in the room, they were presented to the crowd, the wedding cake's there, they cut the cake, have one slice between them that they share, and then I think they opened a bottle of champagne, had a glass of champagne each, and then the cake is just wheeled off to the side. There's no like cutting it up for all the crowd or anything. If that got done, it got done in private. I never saw that happen, but the cake was just removed. And then they did their first dance.
Cool.
As man and wife. Now, obviously, in dreary English weddings, some DJ will go, can we have the bride and groom up on the dance floor for the first dance of them married live? And they both go up there, stand there kind of awkwardly, put their hands on each other's shoulders and just kind of jiggle around a little bit while...
Unchained melodies.
Yeah, Unchained, or some slow songs. No. This was an amazing performance. Done to a medley of about three different songs. I would imagine that years ago, or if you go to like a small Nepalese village, it would just be like people playing instruments and banging drums and stuff like that. But obviously, now they've integrated Western culture, they use their own sort of pop music to dance to.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it was like a medley of three different songs. And the choreography, I know they've been working on it for weeks. James was a little bit stumbly over it, but Ayusha was absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
All the way through. And they were doing lifts and carries and all this sort of thing. Really, really beautiful. They got pyros going off in the background when James was like picking her up and, you know, also.
Pyros
and pyrotechnics. Honestly, mate, the whole thing was just so well choreographed and that. Like, it was just a beautiful, amazing performance. And then after that, they got like a little sofa or chaise lounge type thing up on the stage, all again covered in flowers, garlands of flowers, and they were encouraged to go up to the up to sit on the sofa, and then the entire community lined up down the side of the hall, and one by one or group by group, they'd go up and then give an offering to the new bride and pay their respects, handing over a card in an envelope. And depending on whether they were wealthy or poor, there might be a lot of money in that envelope, or there might be just a small, simple offering. But everybody gave at least the card. You don't know how much money's in there.
Yeah, I imagine.
I do know that they left that building that night with quite a lot of money, more than what I make in a month.
Yeah, but I suppose it's what it represents as the important thing, isn't
it? It's really the whole community helping to set up them in a new life together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which again, we don't really do. You might bring, you bring a toaster or something like that and a card to an English wedding, but I mean, it's not the same. And they would go up on stage, offer this card, always to the bride.
Right, yeah, she.
Always.
Yeah. She and wears the trousers.
They have their photograph taken. And again, I got to say, Ayusha was just a picture of elegance and poise. And James was just kind of like, I'm sorry, James. but no, everybody had their picture taken with them. And this sort of went on for like an hour or more. And then there was just more dancing. James and his two brothers went up and did a dance, like a choreographed dance that they had been learning for a couple of weeks along to this Nepalese song. This was another point that was live streamed. And the singer of the song that they were dancing to saw the video, the live stream, and commented on it saying, oh, well done.
Yeah, good for
them. Done a good job, like, you know? And everybody went absolutely nuts because they're the only three white people trying to do this dance performance, whereas like a whole load of Nepalese people had planned little performances a lot better than my nephew. But you know, they're used to it.
Big respect for that.
Respect, because they actually, I think they got up and did two dances one after another. But yeah, people would like just jumping up on stage and doing these performances for about another hour.
I actually really liked that, the fact that they embraced the different culture and just went full on into
you've
it.
You've got to, don't you?
Yeah. Like, I think no one doing that kind of thing would have, I don't know, felt a bit, I would have felt bad watching it, like, if no one's doing it. But the fact that your three nephews went up there, gave it a go, and done everyone proud, I imagine her family as well probably saw that and thought,
loved it.
Yeah, that's loved amazing.
Like, the support that they got, they probably had the biggest cheers in the room when they walked off the stage out of anybody.
Oh, good for them. Yeah.
I was very proud. It almost brings a tear to my eye now thinking about it. But after that, it kind of, the later it got, it kind of turned into a more of a normal sort of English wedding then, you know, by that point people were drinking and making merry and just getting on the dance floor and having a good boogie, you know, although it was mostly sort of Nepalese pop music.
Yeah. Is there a Nepalese drink that they...
There is. Ah. Now, and this is one of the interesting things that happened to me, is because obviously I wasn't eating much food. And I think Aisha's cousin, I think it was, big stocky bloke, he mentioned it to me a couple of times. He said, I haven't seen you eat today. Are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I tried your food earlier, and I don't want to offend anybody, but it was kind of too hot for me. And he was like, oh, that first course, I was kind of hot for us as well. And I was like, well, no, again, I don't want to offend, but it kind of put me off, so I got McDonald's in between. But he did see me because he was queuing up for food. And I went up to the bar, and what they have is rice beer or rice wine.
Ooh, rice wine is meant to be really good.
Rice wine is good, quite strong. Mm. White rice beer is quite nice as well. It's quite sweet. And he saw me getting these cups of rice beer. Even the first time I actually asked for it, because I was told about this rice beer, and I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to try it.
Yeah,
and I went up, and like all the waiting staff and everything, ex-Gurkhas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got like a Team Gurkha on their t-shirts or something like that. I was told that they are all ex-Gurkhas, and a lot of them have like security jobs around central London and stuff. Like,
yeah, no.
So if you go out in the central London, see a security guard that looks Asian, don't mess with him.
Yeah, just don't mess with him.
Probably an ex-Gurkha.
Yeah, they are hard as they can. Yeah,
the first time I went up and asked, oh, can I have some rice beer? He went, you want nice beer? Mm. Oh, no, rice beer. You're Nepalese rice beer? And oh, yeah, I give you rice beer. Give me a couple of cups. And I turned around, and there's Aisha's cousin going, you drinking our Nepalese stuff? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, fair play. Good lad. Like, you know, good on you.
Nice.
He said, you didn't like the food, but at least you're trying the beer. And I was like, yeah, go for it. And it was really good until you get to the bottom of the cup when you get all gristly rice. But, you know, I'm not going to complain about that because the rest of the drink was brilliant. But, yeah, I mean, after that, it's pretty much a normal wedding up until the end of the night, you know. Mm. The cameras just followed the bride around the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
The group, while they were up on the stage, actually, James wanted to try and go and get some food. And Aisha was like, no, don't leave the stage. He was like, why not? She was like, you'll never make it to the food bar. He's like, what do you mean? Because there's 500 people out there, every single one of them is going to want their photo taken with you. You won't make it to the food bar. Just wait for them to bring us something.
Wow. So it's like a proper event, not just a wedding. It's like an event.
No, it's a performance.
Yeah.
And I in Nepal, this would last probably 2 or 3 days.
What?
While the entire community comes and pays their respects.
It's like a festival.
And makes offerings. Yeah, yeah, it kind of is, yeah. But we obviously had to do it all in one day. Her family, because they'd held it on a Wednesday. They wanted to hold it on the Saturday, but Ayusha's father was like, no, it's probably a bad idea because the hall isn't big enough to contain the entire Nepalese community. You know, we're talking like 5,000 people, not just 500. And he was like, if they all come, we're going to be in problems. So they held it on a Wednesday to try and make it just a little bit more low-key. But apparently, this being a cross-cultural wedding, we did such a good job attempting their traditions. Mm-hmm. We didn't miss out on a single tradition. And because it was all being filmed and live-streamed, apparently now the Nepalese community consider that wedding as the baseline standard for cross-cultural weddings.
That's pretty
in
cool.
their community, because we did such a good job of it. We didn't miss out any of their traditions. We were very respectful. Nobody, like, you're not allowed to wear black at a wedding. It has to be colourful. We did. I was wearing my bright purple suit, as you know.
Yeah, that is
got you, didn't you? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was just such a wonderful event. Mm. The only downside to it, well, I wouldn't say a downside, but a little bit that almost kind of brought me down a little bit was right at the very end of the night when we were going home. I was speaking to a young Nepalese lad, or a couple of them, outside, and they'd asked me how I'd enjoyed it, and I was like, yeah, it's brilliant. And I was like, I really respect the way you all honour your traditions, even though you're here in England trying to fit in with us. You're still respecting and honouring your tradition. And the young lad, he must have only been about 21, and he was like, well, they do. I was like, what do you mean they do? He's like, well, the older people, they're right on it. He was like, the younger people, we're kind of trying to integrate into Western culture. We're picking up more Western, and more of us are sort of dropping out from that tradition, which I think is a real big shame, because it's such a beautiful community-based thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're all so friendly, so welcoming.
You want to kind of keep that tradition.
Yeah.
You want to get stuck in and get involved.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they had a lot of traditions as well.
Oh, they do, yeah.
So to remember all of those and get them right in that order, fair play.
Mm.
So, I mean, I really want to go to one now.
I feel, honestly, honoured and very lucky that I got to be part of that. Because, like I said right at the start, once-in-a-lifetime experience for me. My sister and, like, maybe her kids may get an invite to another one, possibly, you know, someone who Ayusha's family is getting married, they may get invited. It's not going to happen for me. I'm too far removed. Yes, yeah, so that was just my one time of attending a Hindu wedding with the Nuwari people, and I honestly feel so honoured and blessed that they've allowed me to experience that. And for that, it's not even a paranormality scale. I'll give them 9.9 on the scale, because it knocks our weddings out of the water, you know?
Mm. I did wonder if there was going to be some sort of scale today.
A wedding scale, our weddings, 1. Theirs, 9.9.
I mean, I think my wedding was at least a 5, at least.
4.7.
If we're going scale with how much we like it, I'm up there with you.
Yeah. Well, I can't put the pictures and videos online for people to see, because I don't have permission from everybody who was there. But you've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen how colourful it was, and all the flowers and all that sort of thing. And you've seen the dance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it blows the socks off of anything that I've been to in England before now.
I'm going to respectfully namaste out of the scale, because I haven't been to one, but listening to your stories and everything, I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome. So I'm not going to give it a rating, because I don't think it's fair.
Fair enough.
But we're going by your 9.9.
Yeah, that's cool.
There you go.
Right. So yeah, if you at home have experienced it for yourself, I'm so glad that you managed to experience it. Everybody is welcome to send in their own stories or their own experiences of cross-cultural weddings or even a Hindu wedding. Send us an email, paranormality.uk@gmail.com. And I'm going to keep it brief until next time. I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Namaste.
Namaste.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.